Good morning. I am Dr. Cremines, and Dr. Martin is also here presenting or helping me present. So if I can't answer your question, surely between the two of us, we can get you covered. We are currently doing a study looking at the distribution of alcohol violations in North Carolina. We have a complete data set of every ALE, which I'll talk about ALE in a second, alcohol violation that has occurred from this agency from the year 2000 through 2011. And we have no disclosures to present. This is a collaborative effort. We are in the Department of Health Education and Promotion, and one of the other co-authors is from the Department of Criminal Justice. He came to us with the data set that was given to him, and we are now, that's what we're using to look at. It is examining alcohol violations from alcohol law enforcement. ALE is the primary agency in the state of North Carolina to address alcohol violations, and they enforce laws the wide range, sales, purchase, consumption, manufacturing, transportation, any of those types related to alcohol. And I think their focus is on underage alcohol use, but they do look at a wide range of policies. Their jurisdiction actually extends further into lottery and gambling as well, but alcohol being their primary focus. They do employ over 100 agents to enforce these laws, and it's broken down to about 9 districts throughout the state of North Carolina. These are some examples of the violation types, and they're just related to the laws in North Carolina. So you have underage possession of beer, liquor, and wine, purchasing or attempting to purchase beer, liquor, or wine by underage individuals. It also includes aiding and abetting individuals trying to purchase or attempt to purchase alcohol, fraudulent IDs, having those, as well as being somebody that allows somebody to use a fraudulent ID, and then, of course, selling beer, wine, or liquor to somebody under the age of 21. The purpose of this part of the study was to really paint a picture of who these individuals are in North Carolina, looking at the characteristics of individuals who are receiving these alcohol citations. So it is an epidemiological study of these infractions over the entire 12-year period from a statewide law enforcement agency. We examine these violations from 2000 to 2011, and we really broke down by demographic factors, and those include age, race, ethnicity, as well as gender. Because every citation is listed in the data set, we were able to look at the year, so the trends over the 12-year time span, as well as look at the month in which citations were issued, the day of the week in which citations were issued, as well as the time of day that these citations were given. We did look at underage versus of age individuals, and I'll point, it's a little obvious, but I'll point to some differences as we go through. I will say that the original data set that we were given had everybody, every citation, 16 years and older, and it actually had identifying information. But of course, we stripped all identifying information out, as well as limited our analysis to those who were 18 and older. And when we originally looked at the citations, we had about a little over 52,000 citations in the 12 years. But when we restricted the data set to 18 and older, we had a little over 47,000 citations in the 12-year time span. The median age was 19, but it ranged in age from 18 all the way up to 94. Then we had predominantly males, with 65% of the citations being given to males, specifically non-Hispanic males at 96%, as well as predominantly white, with 89% citations occurring to this population. This is the number of violations by year, so it kind of gives you a little idea about how it changed. In general, it kind of increased up to about 2004 till about 2007. 2007 was the peak year for citations, with a little over 5,000 citations issued that year. And we've seen a decline in recent years from 2007 really on to 2009. And we've kind of been at that 3,500 range for the past couple of years. Frequency, this looks at months, and I don't think that it's surprising, with the target of underage individuals being their primary concern, that the most frequently cited month is August, which coincides with back to school for college students. So August, September, October were the heavy ones, as well as April, being the spring. And oddly enough, in most of the state of North Carolina, our spring break for college students is in March. So I don't really know why April, but it could be for a lot of variation reasons, I guess. About 75% of these violations occurred on either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, which, of course, corresponds to the highest drinking days for, college students, but for a lot of individuals. And the other 25% was broken down Sunday. And if you look at the time span, it's actually early Sunday morning, which is a continuation of the Saturday night drinking. These are all 16 violations that could be cited by ALE, and the breakdown by percent. And if you look at the top five or four or five, of course, someone possessing beer or wine under the age of 21 was by far the number one citation at about 55%. But you also have selling or giving beer to someone under the age of 21 with about 13%. And if you look close to the bottom, there it is. You can have obtaining alcohol with a fake ID at 6.6%. And then, of course, I'll point out possessing liquor at just around 9% being the number of citations. Because it was heavily male, I mean, it was almost twice as many males as females, we looked within gender to see the variation in the breakdown of type of violation. excuse me. So when you looked at among females had a higher proportion of giving or selling malt beverages to somebody under the age of 21, but they also had a higher percentage of possessing liquor by somebody under the age of 21. So within the female category, these were the two areas at which they actually had higher proportions of citations than males. And then when you looked among males, the two highest proportions were possessing a malt beverage under the age of 21, as well as attempting to purchase or purchasing malt beverage under the age of 21. All the other types of violations were pretty similar when you look at the gender comparisons. Because it was largely non-Hispanic Caucasian individuals who made up this data set, we looked within each race and ethnicity to see if we could see some variance by violation type, which gave us a little bit of a different viewpoint. When you look at selling or giving beer or wine to somebody under the age of 21, I think probably the most surprising thing to me, because they made up a very small proportion of individuals, is that 52% of the violations among Asian and Pacific Islanders fell into this category. And also there were larger percentage of African Americans that fell into this category as well. Somebody possessing beer or wine under the age of 21, if you'll remember back to the previous slide, it was right around 55% of citations total. And then if you look at the Caucasian category, it was right around 55%. So you can see that this is really driving the Caucasian category for this violation type. But you still saw high percentages among African Americans, American Indian and Alaskan Natives, as well as Asian and Pacific Islanders. When you look at liquor, African Americans received twice as many citations in this category, or almost twice as many citations in this category, as the other populations. And then if you look at obtaining or alcohol with a fake ID, you can see that Caucasians received more citations in this violation type than the other races and ethnicities. It's probably not surprising that the vast majority of our citations were to underage individuals. A lot of that is just because of the laws in North Carolina and really the focus of ALE as an agency. However, one of the things that was really interesting was to look at when the citations were issued from an of-age population to an underage population. And you really see more the citations of underage individuals closer to the end of the week on weekends, which coincides with when they're drinking. But when you look at of-age individuals, you see more citations on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so earlier on in the week, which we thought was a rather interesting finding. Time of day was also looked at, because we actually had the exact time of day in which the citation was issued. Most of the citations for both underage and of age individuals fell either between 8 p.m. at night to about 2 or 3 in the morning, which is probably not surprising. And since most of our citations were of underage individuals, that's why you see those the difference in numbers, but the trend still follows the same idea. So just some overall kind of points that we wanted to make sure were made is that most of the violations were of underage individuals, which is really could be a product of the fact that this is their focus. And the majority of the violations were among non-Hispanic Caucasian males. It peaked in 2007 with right around 5,000, but we've seen an overall decline, and that could be for a variety of reasons. But nonetheless, there has been a decline in North Carolina. Most violations occurred in April, August, September, and October, and sort of the latter half of the week. And just to reiterate some of the gender differences that we saw, I think, and this just comes from some of my background research with the type of alcohol that's usually consumed, but I thought it was really interesting that females were cited more prevalently for liquor, whereas males were more prevalently for beer, which is pretty consistent with at least some of the literature. And then one of the other important findings, I didn't show you a table, but we sort of anticipated, or at least thought, that the proportion of citations by race and ethnicity would be at least somewhat comparable to the overall population in North Carolina. We have about 22% African American population in the state, so we figured we'd see about that number of citations if it fell at least proportional to our population data. But what we mostly saw was that African Americans were cited in citations, or the percentage that they were cited was far less than what they represented in population. So that was sort of an interesting finding. But if you look within race and ethnicities, you saw some of those differences within the types of violations that occurred. So I would be remiss if I didn't say that this is not the sole agency in North Carolina that addresses alcohol violations. In fact, they largely focus on underage populations, so DUIs, driving, there's one that's a violation for being driving while or attempting to drive while intoxicated, so you're not quite driving yet. Those are underrepresented in this population or in this data set because it's just not the focus of that agency. So that is a limitation. We do hope at some point to include some more data sources and make comparisons between this data set and some of the other statistics and data that's available out there. This is a disproportionate number of underage violations in this data set, but like I said, this is the target of this agency is to look at underage drinking. In fact, if you look at we looked at it by county, and if you looked at the county-level data, the highest prevalence of alcohol citations actually coincides with the counties where there are main public universities, and then Wake County, which is just the largest county in North Carolina. So, we are hoping, we are in the middle of looking at how this overlaps with actual drinking behavior data. So we are looking at the North Carolina BRFSS data and looking at these four main alcohol behaviors, including current drinking, frequency of alcohol use, quantity of alcohol use, and then binge drinking to see if there are any associations. We've talked about doing some other analysis with GIS mapping, looking at alcohol retail outlets and how that correlates with or is associated with alcohol violations. And then, of course, I mentioned looking at other crime statistics and other statistics for alcohol violations to see how that associates as well. Are there any questions? Yes. It's just not the primary focus of this. If you knew how ALE operates in North Carolina, they largely are policing. We're in Greenville, so when you go downtown in Greenville, they're on foot policing in the area where there's a high density of alcohol. They really aren't charged with doing the DUI type assessment. That was actually one of the first things that we talked about, since that's something that we looked at in the past. It's just not, while it's a violation that they can cite, it's just not something that they readily do. That sort of falls to other jurisdictions. Yes?
Why did you drop the 16-year-old?
Largely because IRB made us. Yes, it was. They basically said it had to be 18 or older because technically this is a public use data set, but because of some of their requirements, they told us that we had to be 18 or older, so we dropped them. It would be interesting to look at the population and see what their how that breaks down, but yes, they required us to drop that. Yes. They've had about between 90, and actually it's up to about 110 agents right now. They took a huge budget cut this year, so that is going to drop. But they've, through the 10 or 11 years, 12 years that they're included in this data set, it's largely been increasing. If we see anything, the drop's going to occur here on because of the lower enforcement numbers. I think they lost about 20 positions in the budget this year.
The Outer Banks, and I've seen drive-through stores, drive-through liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
How widely available is alcohol?
I think it depends on the jurisdiction. We do have, or the area. There are some dry counties in the western part of the state, but that's actually one of the things that I'm really interested in taking this data and kind of overlapping it with alcohol availability data to do some comparisons. But I think it goes without saying that in the college towns, it's going to be more readily available. When you go sort of outside in the rural areas, it's just not going to be as dense. But we do hope to look at some of that as we move forward. Hi.
Oh.
Hi, Tim.
Another interesting side of the equation is what kind of enforcement activities happen on retail establishments and licensees. You know, the tendency is to focus on the kids, but how much work do they do in terms of citing people for sales to intoxicated patrons or for sales to underage drinkers?
There is some of that going on. I will say that when you talk to ALE enforcement, it's really about the kids. I mean, that's where their focus is. They do offer server training. That varies depending on, there's two ways to get it in North Carolina, so it just kind of depends on which way you choose to get it, on what kind of training you get. But the focus is largely on the students. And I've heard anecdotally that there are ALE enforcement officers who will go at certain times to the college towns to sort of drum up business, per se, but that I don't have any data to support that. It's just sort of some anecdotal and talking to some people around. But yeah, the focus is really been on the kids and not the establishment. So, any other questions? Great, thank you.